Once every billion lifetimes comes a plague to murder a billion more. Now, in a certain year, another one had arisen, plowing acres of death, miles of blood and pain. It had no particular name, only echoes of names remained. Two young brothers set out from their empty house after covering their parents with linen. They began to move west because they had heard there was a chance there. They slept in open fields and ate what they could, which was very little. They became emaciated and wondered above all else why they were not taken by the disease, and actually began to wish for its symptoms. The symptoms never came. Once, the older brother stood with his back to the setting sun, scoping out the land ahead, when the younger brother moved behind him and tapped him on the shoulder. The boy spun around and screamed, long and loud. So shadowy was the world around them that a single footstep made them shrink in fear. One tap on the shoulder produced a week of nightmares. They saw no one until they came to the lowlands. In the middle of the night, they saw a campfire and made their way toward it. A boy was sitting next to it, a boy no older than they. The boy was reading an old book bound in leather. He looked up at them and smiled. His name was Algernon. That night he told them all of their fears were groundless, that great days were ahead. They had met this boy before, but didn't remember it. When the cities were still cities and not graveyards, they'd seen him on a street corner in the center of their town, standing there in a torn t-shirt, staring blankly into space while people brushed by him, swearing, impatient. The older brother had turned to the younger and said, "Look at him. Look at that one." And across the street, the fatherless and motherless Algernon only stared into space in the direction of the clock tower, waiting for it to strike 12, then 13, so he could find his purpose. It had only been a matter of time. His teeth were slowly rotting, but otherwise he was healthy. He spoke to them at length about the new civilization that lay ahead, a civilization that would be discovered after they recognized the three signs of rebirth, one of faith, one of hope, and one of sacrifice. It was in his book, Algernon said, but he would not let them read it. It was written in a special language, he said. They wouldn't understand until they learned his way. He would lead them as they moved, he said. Already there were hints that they were getting closer. The brothers need only follow. The brothers, not knowing right from wrong or day from night anymore, agreed. Algernon had food. They began their quest the next day. Every time they stopped to make camp or detour around the bodies, he would assure them that it was very close, that his book said so. Algernon read from the book whenever he had the chance. He carried it in his knapsack, which was always kept fastened. The brothers never saw the book's contents and didn't care. They marched forward, always forward, waiting to see another human face, one that could push away their crushing loneliness. One day they came to a wide river which they could not cross. The brothers wanted to double back and go around it, but Algernon thought it might take them miles out of their way. He believed they should wait on the river's edge for a time. The brothers were too tired to decide, so they let Algernon do it for them. He always seemed to have plenty of energy. So they waited. They waited 2 days. The river seemed dead. Its waters were still. "Wait," said Algernon. At dusk of the third day, the raft appeared, moving toward them with the wind, at first just a dot in their vision, but then whole. Immensely useful. It bumped the shore after hours of drifting, and they ran to it, triumphant. As he guided the raft across the river with a giant stick, Algernon told them that the first sign had been seen, the sign of faith. Algernon had known that they would be saved, and they had been. The brothers looked at him suspiciously. "The sun will be ours soon," said Algernon. His teeth were falling out. "The new civilization would be theirs and theirs alone," he told them when he was not poring over his secret book. "Anyone who wished to serve them would be allowed to do so. There would be kings and princes and gods of all creation if they so desired. The streams would run with liquid gold." The brothers listened to this for a while and then slept. As they slept, Algernon studied his book. Before he turned in, he locked it away safely inside his knapsack. When he awoke and found the brothers still asleep, he studied the sky for a long time, watching for the second sign, giggling to himself when he imagined what riches were up there for them to take. Sometimes he reached out and grabbed great handfuls of air, as if he were tearing down the sky all by himself. Sometimes he danced and ran in ever-dwindling circles in the fields. The brothers slept on. Algernon began to show symptoms of the pestilence shortly before he recognized the second sign. As they made their way up into the high hills, Algernon began to sweat in torrents, and tiny beads of blood appeared on his hands, his feet, his cheeks. The brothers knew he would die eventually and were not shocked or saddened by this knowledge. The boy frightened and repulsed them. He didn't take food anymore. His nourishment came from his book and his ramblings and his descriptions of silver oceans riding on clouds. They walked and slept and walked. They did nothing else. When they reached the top of the hills, Algernon looked down into the valley and said, "I know the sign of hope." The brothers looked down and saw that there was a gathering below, a gathering of many people all joined into one camp. They could see movement and hear music being played. They grabbed their few possessions with fingers no thicker than pieces of chalk and began to run. Algernon wouldn't let them go. He insisted they wait for night when the campfires would guide them like beacons. The brothers, too excited to obey, ignored him and began to move down into the valley. It was only a few minutes before they were lost, unable to follow the sound of that music and the uncertain movements 2 miles away. They went back to Algernon, and he had already set up camp for them. He wore a bandage around his forehead now and wrapped his feet in extra layers of clothing. Sweat ran into his eyes, but he didn't seem to feel the sting. "The brothers would go into the valley," said Algernon. They would mix with the others, but would not tell them of the new civilization. Algernon would stay above and wait for the third sign, the sign of sacrifice, and then he would call them back, in preparation for the rebirth of the universe. The brothers did not hear any of this because Algernon spoke so softly, and to people who were not there. His body had begun to be eaten by the plague. The brothers rose in the middle of the night to join the others and did not tell Algernon they were leaving. The younger boy said this to his brother as they left. "Look." Algernon had left his knapsack undone. They opened his secret volume to see what wisdom they might share with the human beings in the valley. The book was filled only with empty pages. The brothers went away hurriedly, leaving the book behind. Algernon slept, and as he slept, his dreams were not of death, but of life. Wonderful life. The brothers arrived in the valley at dawn, and were greeted by friendly faces, and people who told them that, yes, the West was safer. They would be leaving in a few days, and the brothers were welcome to join them when they did. Meanwhile, they were expecting others just like them to come to this place, and together they would all find comfort in one another. The group sang, and at night they went to sleep in real houses. The brothers picked one out for themselves that did not at all remind them of their old home. They slept in the basement because they felt too exposed upstairs. Easy prey for anything in the dark that might want their souls, and knew how to get them. The time passed. Algernon, the god of creation, awoke from a trance to the sight of his own blood, which clogged his eyes. He wiped it away, and then he wiped away the blood that filled him up again, and stood on spidery legs and realized why it was taking so long, why the third sign was not coming to him. The sun baked his skin. It was him, he realized. He was the god of creation. The civilization would belong to the three of them, but it was up to him to release it from its chains. A world which could not be born until he created the sign for them, until he molded their destiny in just the right way to please whomever wanted to be pleased. Sacrifice, Algernon said to the blood that dripped from his forehead. When the stars rose overhead, he dug into his knapsack and started down into the valley. They found them in a basement near the edge of camp, the three of them, under a window in the cement foundation which let in torrents of golden morning sunlight. Two young brothers, who could not have heard anyone enter their new home, twisted and locked together just so, forming a high pedestal upon which a third boy rested, his arms held high to the heavens as if ushering in what was above, his eyes eternally open and expectant. In one hand he held the knife that had cut all their throats. The sun glinted on it and made it shine like some king's immortal sword.